Mike Smith turns back the clock last night. 26 save shutout. Outstanding performance for Calgary's number 41. And the Flames have a 1-0 series lead in their round one set with the Colorado Avalanche. I'm Steinberg. He's Pinder. And now Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, completes our daily Calgary Flames round table. Guys, Mike Smith has a career 947 save percentage in the playoffs. That is the best all-time in the history of the NHL. Now, granted, different guys, different workloads, all that type of stuff, but 947 in 20 starts in the playoffs is pretty damn impressive. Wilsey, maybe there is something to, whether it be Smith or anybody else, maybe there is something to a guy raising his game and being truly at his best when the chips are down the most, because I don't think there's any doubt, at least for me, that was the best performance we've ever seen from Mike Smith in a Flames uniform. And that's saying a lot, because we all know how good he was for a good chunk of last season.
Yeah, it was right up there for me. Certainly the best he's played in a big game as a member of the Flames. So I think back to his 43 save shutout at Honda Center in Anaheim to help the Flames snap that long road losing streak against the Ducks, the longest road losing streak in NHL history a couple of seasons ago. And, you know, he was great in that game. And there have been some other really good games along the way for Mike Smith. But that was the biggest stage he's played on as a member of this team. And he was the best player on the ice last night. Absolutely brilliant. And I think fitting that he did such a great job stopping the puck at one end and actually helped set up a Matthew Tkachuk goal at the other end. And Mike Smith has one more point than any member of the Avalanche following one game in this series.
Been unreal. Yeah, and the craziest part for me is that 7 years. I mean, we're talking about a 15-year-old Connor McDavid. We're talking about, you know, guys like Rasmus Anderson and Andrew Mangiapane haven't played junior yet. That's a long time between playoff games. I don't know that it's a safe bet to suggest he'll finish his career with the tidiest postseason numbers of all time, but if that's a kind of performance that Flames fans and the team itself would be happy to see, as much as he can deliver, as many of those as he can do between now and the end of this tournament, the better off this team will be. He was sensational. The only thing I would even quibble with was, like, I think his first three puck touches, two of them were instant turnovers, and it was third out of five. But then even he seemed to adjust in game and started coming out of his net and playing it to centerman swinging down low rather than trying to go to the boards for his D-men. So, you know, clearly he stopped everything he saw, but the small hiccups handling the puck early, even those went away and became a big positive, as Derek alluded to with the assist.
Well, and, you know, sometimes I think the big game player or this guy's huge in the clutch and that type of stuff, sometimes I think that is a very overplayed narrative. But when you take a look at what Mike Smith has done at any point in the playoffs, and you take a look at the run he went on in 16 games with the Arizona Coyotes 7 years ago, I mean, this guy looks like the type of personality and the type of competitor that when the games are at their most important and the stakes are at their highest, is able to raise his game. And I look how that game went on last night, Derek. Smith was good in the first period, very good, and made some big stops and looked like he was dialed in. And then every time he made a big stop, it looked like it cranked the level up another notch. And until when it got to the third period and the Avalanche had their lone power play at 2-0 and still with an opportunity to get back in it, at that point you're like, I don't think they're scoring tonight. Mike Smith has got that feel that nothing's getting by him tonight. And so he's that type of guy, it sure does seem like, that is able to dial it up as the stakes get higher. At least for one night, he did that yesterday.
Yeah, and I mean, I was driving home from the game and I heard you play an interview with Mike Smith post-game last night. And, you know, he's 37, but it had been 2,516 days since his last Stanley Cup playoff game. And he admitted that he was a little bit nervous early last night. And Ryan, to your point, might explain him maybe not doing as good a job playing the puck early in the game as he normally does and as he did once he settled in a little bit and the game went on. But yeah, Mike Smith, he was absolutely brilliant last night. And he certainly deserved all the accolades that he got from us on the radio broadcast, I'm sure. From Rick and Cassie on the TV broadcast. And most importantly for me, guys, from the fans. Wasn't that something? Because 5.5 weeks ago, I'm sure many of the people who were in the building chanting Smith, 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 and giving him one standing ovation after another last night were potentially also in the building when he was getting jeered and booed in the third period of a game against the Wild on Jerome McGinley night. So I think it's really difficult to admit when you're wrong about something or someone. And I guarantee you, there were some people in the building last night who have had to come around on this guy. And I think Smith has earned the trust of a lot of Flames fans with the way he's played in the last 6 or 8 weeks, and certainly with the way he played last night. So I think all of those standing ovations and hearing his name chanted by Flames fans in the sea of red, it had to make him feel great. It had to build his confidence. So I put my hands together for all of those people who put their hands together for Mike Smith last night. That was a really touching moment.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem if people are in both those camps. He deserved it both nights. He was excellent last night. That's the best game he's played as a Flame. You deserve to chant his name. And if you're a purchasing customer and came to Jerome McGinley night, that was one of his worst in a Flames uniform with the gaffes that he made. I don't think that, you know, there's a rule book for how fans have to behave. And if someone's not good, you can boo them. And if someone's great, absolutely you can chant their name. I think all of that is fair game. I don't think this is a, okay, you pick it and early on and you're dedicated to this side of a conversation for the rest of time. I mean, clearly he was struggling mightily for the first half of the season. March 2nd was a night that he struggled. Last night was not. He was sensational. He was the best player on the ice and turned back the hands of time, as you talked about, Pat.
It was a really promising performance and exactly what the Flames needed because he helped them get into that game. And I think after that second period power play where Smith made the back-to-back glove saves to keep it 0-0, the Flames finally kind of settled in. And it was in the back half of the period that Andrew Mangiapane scored the game-opening goal, the game-winning goal, and the Flames didn't look back from there. And Smith was still very good after that, but Smith allowed the Flames to settle in because I thought there were some nerves. I thought they were a little tentative at times. There were a couple of guys in their first playoff games that were a little shaky, and he allowed that to happen, and that's just natural. If you can have a goaltender who's been there before and who can bail you out for a little bit and allow you to settle in, that's huge, and Mike Smith did just that. So the Flames take a 1-0 series lead. It is game two tomorrow here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. He's Derek Wills. He's Ryan Pinder. My name is Pat Steinberg. It's our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. And you know what? As promising as last night was for Mike Smith, for me anyway, it wasn't the most promising performance of the night. Because the most promising performance of the night for me was what we saw from the line of Matthew Tkachuk, Michael Backlund, and Michael Frolik. Because matched up, not almost every shift, but pretty much, not every shift period, but almost every shift is what I'm trying to say, against the Nathan MacKinnon line, Michael Backlund, Matthew Tkachuk, and co. did outstanding work. They outplayed them. They had them on their heels for the most part. And while Nathan MacKinnon was very dangerous, I think the job that Backlund and company did was a key reason for them winning that hockey game. And that is such a key thing to see, Derek, because when that line is on, the Flames are at their very best, no questions asked. And when you can have an elite shutdown line that is playing against an elite line on the other side like Colorado has and winning that battle, you're going to win a lot of games in a seven-game series and enough games to advance. That, to me, was an extremely promising trend last night.
I mean, it was really a lot of fun to watch, but it really didn't surprise me all that much. I mean, that line has been playing that way for the better part of 3 years. Michael Backlund, Matthew Tkachuk, and Michael Frolik. And I thought they did a really good job against Nathan MacKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog, and for a while, Alex Kerfoot. And then for most of the third period, Mikko Rantanen, when they fell behind by two and then three and then four, they had to put that MGM line back together. But, you know, going with the matchup game, it's beyond just forward line versus forward line. It's also defense pairing versus forward line. And I think that Mark Giordano and TJ Brody deserve some credit for the way they played against that top group of the Avalanche as well. And what we saw as last night's game went on, I thought it was pretty even in the first period. But once the Flames took the lead in the second period, the Avalanche really had to lean on their top players. And their lack of depth was exposed. And if the Flames can grab leads in games in this series, guys, I think they're going to make it next to impossible for the Avalanche to do anything but overplay MacKinnon and company. You don't want to play your forwards 25-plus minutes a game. That is not ideal. It's far from ideal, but that's the situation that Jared Bednar was put in last night when his team fell behind in the hockey game. But if they grab the lead and they can roll at least three lines, if not four, I think that gives them a much better chance to hang with a deep team of the Flames and make this a series. But yeah, the back line was terrific last night, as was the pairing of Giordano and Brody.
For sake of reference, right? So Nathan MacKinnon last night was on the ice against Michael Backlund for 14 plus minutes at even strength, which is huge. He was below 50% in the possession battle, and high danger scoring chances were 5-2 Calgary when MacKinnon was on the ice against Backlund's line, and 5-1 Calgary when he was out there against Brody and Giordano. So that unit, that five man unit that Bill Peters employed against MacKinnon and co. got the job done at 5-on-5.
Yeah, and even the third period, threw Rantanen out there with them. And if that's going to be the story of the series, it's not a long series, because I don't have faith that, you know, the bottom nine or the rest of that crew in Colorado is going to get done. They need to get some more production there. And that's – you're right, Derek. Like, this shouldn't be surprising. This is absolutely what the 3M line has done, not just for the bulk of this season, but since they – came into being a thing when Matthew Tkachuk, I believe, as a rookie, ended up there. This is what they excel at, not only shutting down other teams' best players, but finding a way to spend significant time in the other team's end.
Here's the other thing that I think that I saw last night, guys. Nathan MacKinnon was a beast. I mean, as good as Michael Backlund was going head-to-head with him, center versus center, and as good as the 3M line was as a unit, and as Giordano and Brody were as a pairing, Nathan MacKinnon still had his fair share of chances. What did you say? Seven scoring chances, one high danger. Was that the number you threw out there earlier,
yep.
Pat?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, he still had one heck of a game and was probably a little bit or maybe a lot unlucky not to put the puck in the back of the Flames net. But how about the two guys who flank him when the Avalanche have their top three offensive players on the same line? Gabriel Landeskog didn't look like a guy who's playing at 100% to me. And Mikko Rantanen certainly didn't look like a guy who's even close to 100% for me. He is a big man. And talking to their broadcasters last night, they think that when, you know, he gets a little bit older and fills out, he's going to be around 240 pounds. And he's a load to handle as it is. But I don't know if you guys saw what I saw, but I saw him shying away from some contact last night, which is normally not what you see from Mikko Rantanen. And Gabriel Landeskog, who can really be a warrior when he's at his best and when he's healthy. You know, he was at times last night, but not really consistently, at least not as far as I saw it. So I don't know how close those two guys are to 100%, but I strongly suggest they're not at 100%, Landeskog and Rantanen.
Yeah, you could see it from Rantanen and right from the get-go. There were a couple of times. I still thought he had some effective moments with the puck on his stick, but a couple of times in some one-on-one battles, he's dealing with a rib and a hip thing, and he definitely decided not to engage when usually he would. He is a big man, and he can impose physically and didn't do as much of that last night, so I certainly noticed the same thing. Final topic on our Daily Flames Roundtable, and it's on the opposition. The Avalanche had some opportunities last night. They could have easily led that game. They could have been a very different situation had it not been for some misses, for some shots that went just a little wide, and obviously for the work that Mike Smith did, and give the Flames penalty kill a lot of credit as well, going 4-for-4. I still think the Avalanche are to be heard from before the end of this series. I still think that there are some stretches where Calgary's going to be, I don't want to say overwhelmed, but there's going to be some stretches where some of these top players and maybe that Avalanche power play really gets going and starts to feel it. What's your thought on the Avalanche coming out of game number one last night?
Well, I mean, I don't think the Avalanche are going to get shut out in every game in the series, but I also think that the Flames can do a better job defensively in front of Mike Smith. You know, 26 shots, that looks like a pretty good number. But what, were there 10 high-danger scoring chances for the Avalanche last night, Pat? Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty high percentage when you look at high-danger chances and shots on goal in a game. So I think the Flames, you know, they hadn't played a meaningful game since March 31st and weren't really playing against tough competition in their final three regular season games, and then had an off day on Sunday, practice days Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I think for them, it was about getting ramped back up last night. And I think they got better as that game went on, and then certainly building a 2-0 lead after two and then taking a 4-0 lead in the third period. But I still think there's some room for improvement on the Flames side. So I think it's going to get even more difficult for the Avalanche as this series progresses, because they're playing their top guys too much, and they simply don't have the depth to really avoid doing that unless they're able to grab early leads in games. So I like a lot of their players. I think the lack of depth is something that caught up to them last night and is going to make it really difficult for them to win this series.
What did you take from last night from a Colorado perspective?
Create enough chances in terms of, like, if we're not talking about Mike Smith, if they don't get chances, right? But
yeah,
the matchup game's not going to be easy for them for the reasons that Derek alluded to, their depth. This is going to have to be a series where they absolutely make hay at home, and they're going to have to steal one or two on the road if they're going to win. And their goaltender wasn't the 954 or 956, 952, whatever the guy from March on
was. He was just okay last year.
Yeah,
night,
and,
right?
And he's been more than just okay for this season. And the other thing was is they had three power plays in the first 21 minutes, and they did not capitalize. And if you do that, I think the complexion of the game changes a ton. Those penalties, it was like, which one of these is going to bite the Flames? And mm-hmm. It didn't last night, but that's not the habit they want to get into.
Yeah, the Avalanche will try to tie this series on Saturday night. The Flames will try to take a 2-0 series lead after a 4-0 win in game number one. Game two is tomorrow at 8:30 right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. All right, Willsie, see you down here for morning skate tomorrow. Thank you, pal.
Sounds good. Just one quick note before I let you go. I don't know if you guys have touched on it yet today, but something to watch in the next handful of days. Cale Makar, Calgary product, first-round pick of the Avalanche. His college season will wrap up, win or lose, on Saturday. And there's already some chatter that he could be in Denver as soon as Sunday and potentially play for the Avalanche in Game 3 on Monday, or Game 4 on Wednesday.
We had Mike Chambers of the Denver Post on earlier this week, and he had said, yeah, he expects Makar to play in Game number 3, and his expectation was that if they were to do that, they'd go 7D and 11 forwards, which is something to keep an eye on as well, as you're saying, as early as Game 3.
Yeah, so just something to watch, and he's a fantastic young player. Probably he's been the best player in college hockey this season. Can he be impactful in his first ever NHL game? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe a bit of a move of desperation if the Avalanche fall behind 2 games to none in the series. But something to watch as we look forward to what should be a good game tomorrow night, guys. And look forward to seeing you there.
Should be fun.
See you, Derek.
See you, guys.